his scarf up and his hat down to turn the wind. Soon he heard something on the road behind him. He stepped aside and looked back in the darkness, but a grove of live oak trees on the eastern horizon kept him from seeing the outline of whatever was behind him. He turned back around and kept on walking. A minute or two later, he heard something behind him again, getting closer. There weren't any hoofbeats, so it wasn't a horse. There weren't any trace chains jingling, so it wasn't a wagon. There wasn't any motor noise, so it wasn't a tractor or an automobile. He stopped again to listen, but the sound had stopped. He kept on walking up the slope toward the graveyard. The preacher man heard the sound again, and it was so close behind him that it made the hair on the back of his neck stand up. He turned around and saw a huge black shape coming silently at him. He stepped aside, and the shape pulled alongside of him. It was an automobile, but without its lights lit. "Well," thought the preacher man, "this is some deacon of the church who's taken some sister home and is stopping to offer me a ride." He stepped over, opened the side door, and got into the back seat. He leaned forward to thank whoever was driving, but he found he was alone in the vehicle. And the automobile began to move silently toward the graveyard. The preacher sat very still and waited until the vehicle rolled to a stop right in front of the iron gate to the burying ground. "Well," thought the preacher, "I guess this is where I'm supposed to get out." He stepped out of the automobile, shut the door quietly, and walked quickly away from the ghostly vehicle. Suddenly, he heard something breathing heavily, like a huge animal, just on the other side of a tall marble monument. Very slowly, the preacher man walked around the marble stone and saw one of the deacons of the church leaning on the marble and breathing loud and hard. "Don't go near that automobile," said the preacher. "There's something wrong with it." "I know, Brother John," said the deacon. "I've been pushing the damn thing for a mile."
They tell a story about a store owner in the Santa Clara Valley during the Great Depression. One rainy day, a woman in a print cotton dress, drenched by a sudden rainstorm, came into the store with two empty, returnable milk bottles. She set them on the counter without a word, folded her arms, and looked down. The store owner assumed she wanted two more bottles. He got them from the cooler and set them in front of her, putting the empties under the counter. He told her the price was 10 cents. She took the fresh milk without speaking and left without paying. The store owner just sighed. She probably didn't have any money anyway. The next day she came back and put the empties on the counter. She stepped back, folded her arms, and stared straight ahead. After a moment, the owner put the empties away and gave her two more fresh bottles out of the cooler. She left without paying, almost running out the door. The third day, she came back with the empties. The store owner felt so sorry for the skinny, bedraggled woman that he took her empties and gave her fresh milk. But this time, he followed a few yards behind her when she went quickly out the door. Maybe he could find the migrant camp where she was staying and give someone in her family a job around the store. Instead of going to the migrant camps by the road, the woman went to the graveyard by the river. She disappeared behind a stone marker just as it began to rain again. The owner stood there for a few minutes, getting wet, and then he decided to leave. Just as he turned to go, he heard a baby crying in the distance. He looked all around the graveyard for a tent or migrant camp. Then he realized the muffled cries were coming from under his feet. From inside a shallow grave, the man ran back to the store and called everyone he knew that had a phone. In a few minutes, trucks began to descend on the graveyard. Men with shovels had the grave.